Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Hey, Rich, talk fast.
This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is R.
And my name is Rich.
Now, beside Rich, we also have Josh, who's been here before, but to his other side.
Hello.
That's Josh. We also have, what do you want to call yourself on the show?
Anthony.
Anthony. Not Reverend Anthony or the Birch.
No, I called myself Reverend Anthony a long time ago, and then I realized that was kind of a bad idea because Reverend Anthony doesn't look very professional or like...
No, wait.
Let's listen to what this guy has to say. He calls himself a reverend for no reason, even though he's an atheist, and he got his reverendship online.
So, a reverendship.
Yeah. Which is exactly the reason why you should keep the name Reverend Anthony.
Because you are irreverent.
Because it's like, hey,
we could call you Rev. How about Rev?
People do that a lot, and I mean, I'm fine with it, but I'm trying to just be Anthony Birch just for the sake of just not sounding like a moron when I introduce myself to people.
How about Erev?
E-Rev?
Okay, like, let's get away from that because that's just horrible.
Makes me sound like an Apple product.
So I was introduced to Anthony and his goings on a few months ago when my friends were all like, "Hey, you need to see this hop thing."
And I was introduced to it much, much later.
Yeah,
H-E-W-P, and this whole time I thought it was about Pokemon. I swear.
No. So it's Hey Ash, what you playing? Does some videos on the YouTubes and the trailers and all the different places you can get it at. I think Game Trailers is the official.
Game Trailers is the official site. Yes.
And then you were at Penny Arcade Expo. I don't know if you know. Well, I did mention to you at Penny Arcade Expo that we do a Penny Arcade event as well.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I did. I told you.
I probably wasn't listening.
All right, we'll discuss the story when I accosted you and why you were you couldn't even figure out what I was telling you.
Oh, is he the guy you were pissed off at?
I wasn't pissed off at
him. Oh, okay.
I figured he would probably be pissed off at me.
No, I wasn't. Honestly.
Well, I appreciate that. while I was there were a few other people on stage with you, some... large ogre-ish dude who looked like it was a bodyguard, but I'm sure it was just a buddy of yours.
Oh, the guy in the destructoid mask?
No, there's some other dude in the destructoid mask.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's Grant. That's my friend. Yeah, he works on the show, too.
All right. But besides you was this other young lady who may or may not be in the studio, depending on whether or not we want to announce her presence. I'll leave that up to you.
We can do that, yeah. Ashley Davis is here.
All right. She has done some amount of work for Hey Ash, what you playing, right?
And yes. It's not the Ash, right?
It's not Ashley Birch, my sister. This is Ashley Davis, my fiance, who is basically she did all the animation for the Once Upon a Pixel episode, the Metal Gear thing. And actually, if you're listening to this now, in about an hour at GameTrailers.com, she's going to have her pilot for her own Once Upon a Pixel series go up.
The plan is to have lots of those shows.
Well, yeah, the plan is for Hey Ash, what you playing to be like Doctor Who, and Once Upon a Pixel to be like Torchwood.
I don't understand the reference.
Neither do I. I thought I was a huge geek, but apparently not.
You don't watch Doctor Who? I don't think you're allowed to be a geek or refer to yourself as one if you don't watch Doctor Who.
I've heard of the TARDIS. It's like a telephone booth with like a mall inside, right?
Now, I know Doctor Who, but I don't know of any spin-offs because, honestly, my brother would watch it, and I would not like it when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. Well.
The Doctor Who.
I only like the beginning and end part with all that swirling.
Oh, dude, the new music.
The music is incredible. The new Doctor Who is different than the Doctor Who your brother watched. This is actually pretty much worth watching.
Wait, there's a new one?
Yeah. It went away for about 20 years, and then they brought it back in 2001 with Christopher Eccleston and then David.
So speaking of remakes, did you know that V is coming back in just like a month and a half?
The show?
For a month. Yeah,
they've been having some problems with reshoots and stuff, though.
Really?
I remember hearing. I mean, Alan Tudyk's in it, so that alone is enough to make me really happy. Wash from Firefly. But they were having problems, I guess.
But, I mean, the pilot's made. It's in the can.
Yeah, I know. But then, like, all the studio guys are being like, something's a little bit wrong about this. It's too good, maybe.
Oh.
Given the way that
you can't have that if
apparently,
it's too good.
The pilot's supposed to be amazing.
We got to add a little bit of crap before we let this thing out of there.
This is just funny because that's one of the shows that, like, my girlfriend and I were like, when we were kids, we saw that, and it was kind of freaky, and we were too young to be watching the show, and then all of a sudden I find out there's a remake coming,
which is
supposed to be amazing.
I have, like, fond third-grade memories of V.
And the
I don't know what they are. I just remember that it's a fond, fond memory.
That's sort of what I have as well, but I don't know why.
Well, and then life balances itself out, though, because, you know, for the V remake, they're also remaking Highlander by the guy who directed Fast and Furious.
Ouch.
Okay.
I didn't realize that, but
could be worse.
Your
could
name
be,
Reverend is definitely
could be
its colors. All right,
because I know about Highlander.
No, because life balancing itself out. Good versus evil.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
All right. The immortal.
Well done.
Right. You get it. So we don't actually talk about TV too much on this program. We talk about video games. And that's why we have I keep wanting to call you Ash because it's in the title, right?
Right.
How weird is it, by the way?
His name is not
and sister,
Ash.
Same name.
It's very crazy. Difficult.
Was she selected because her name shares your sister's name?
No, I'm not that weird. It was completely irrelevant to the name or anything like that. I call her Davis just to prevent coital confusion.
And, which seems even stranger.
What?
But then, Davis.
Wait, but then in bed you're yelling out Davis, which is the guy's name.
Yeah, but I'm sort of okay. If I had to choose between being gay and being incestuous, I would choose being gay 100% of the time.
Wait, does that make you think of like Jim enough. Davis and then like Garfield, and then it gets really confusing?
I think we need to ask why it made you think of that.
Touche.
All right, so Anthony, who I continually want to call Ash, that's confusing, produces or creates or writes, I don't know what you credit yourself as.
I just say I do it.
Okay, you do it. This video that you can find all over the place. I traditionally should be honest and watch it on YouTube, but like we said, Game Trailers is where it's actually released.
If you want to want to support us by watching it, then you go to Game Trailers.
Exactly. And so you should certainly do that rather than these, because I didn't even know it was Game Trailers until Penny Arcade Expo when you guys were talking about it so much.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because people watch it on Game Trailers and then their instinct is like, oh, let's put it on YouTube. Which, I mean, is great because it means more people see us, but also just in terms of pure financials, doesn't really help us that
yes,
much.
Yes, well, as soon as you start getting paid for something, you become far more aware and conservative about how people
Well, I'm okay with it. I emailed people and was like, please stop doing that. And then about, two weeks later, people kept doing it. So I figured, well, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. They can do what they want.
Hopefully they credit. It'd be nice. Although I wonder if Google would get on their case for linking to Game Trailers from YouTube. That would be sort of payback, right? You should take your own videos, put them on YouTube, and then link them to Game Trailers.
Well, our videos have a lot of like copyright infringing stuff, but Game Trailers is for some reason okay with that or exempt from that. So I should just report my own videos on other people's accounts to YouTube.
That's great. Game Trailers, you can just infringe on copyrights all the time.
And be like, the jerks who originally made these videos like infringed copyright up the wazoo, and this is, you need to get rid of this stuff now.
That'd be really funny.
I don't know if that's a wise move. I can't.
It would definitely
I don't want to advise you. I'm no counsel.
It would hurt our distribution, I'm sure. But.
Perhaps. All right. So he makes these videos. They're, let's say, 2 minutes-ish?
Yeah, around there.
And they have this loose connection to video gaming. It's not always a very strong connection, but it's usually the theme, perhaps, is taken from gaming. And, in fact, when you say, hey, Ash, what you're playing, it's in reference usually to a particular game that your sister, Ashley, is. I am right. It's a sister, right?
Correct. Okay. It is a sister. Correct.
Okay. I actually have a question at this point.
Yes.
How come in the beginning, when she says what she's playing, she like has like this bizarre like accent?
Oh, the speech impediment?
Yeah.
I think we just thought it was kind of funny, like to hear her say, instead of saying Ikaruga, which sounds very normal, she goes Ikaruga, like something about that. Because we have a very, very, I was going to say irreverent, but that implies that there's something cool about it. We're just very immature. And so like if she speaks in a little baby voice, then it's slightly funnier than speaking in a normal voice. We were all right with it.
Now, the downside there, and I don't know if you consider this a downside and a way to go for the pun on my part, people tend to think she's actually retarded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think most of the people who think that are just people who really don't like the show anyway.
Well, when they're just getting introduced.
I haven't ran into anyone who really liked the show who was like, oh, you're so great, and your poor little retarded sister is really good, too. It's mostly like people who are like, this show sucks. Get this stuff off Game Trailers.
Well, once you see more, you understand. Like if you were to go for the one where she sounds kind of retarded or like a child, plus she also looks young, too, and then switch to the one where she plays the Joker, like clearly she has a little bit more talent than, well, not being able to speak on camera. So. But it was just, first video, my girlfriend sees, just like, what is this and why do I need to give a crap?
I think the people who go out of their way to call your stuff crap secretly really, really like it.
Or I think they pretty much think it's crap. I mean,
like this program, I think you'll attest to the fact that you have good and bad episodes.
Undoubtedly. I mean, I'm sort of happy with everything we put out, but I do. Yeah, some episodes are obviously better than others. But I mean, there was a period where about halfway through the first season, I gave up trying to judge how people would take it, because all the episodes I thought everyone's going to like for sure, they either didn't like it, thought it was okay, and all the episodes I had no faith in whatsoever based on the way they felt about the previous episodes, they ended up loving. Like the one I did during – that came out during E3, the Katamari Damacy one. I was going around E3 and a couple people like saw me, and I was like, ooh, it was the first time it ever happened to me. And I was like, okay, so there's one coming out, and make sure that you don't get your hopes up because it's supposed to be intentionally unfunny and it's going to suck. Just don't worry about it. And then everyone ended up loving that one. So I have no ability to judge my own work anymore whatsoever.
Do you think that perhaps you're weeding people out when you make one they don't like? They go away, so only the people who did like it stick around, and therefore they like the next one?
I don't know, really, because our viewership has remained pretty steady since we first premiered. It's been about 50,000 viewers, pretty much standard. And the thing about – I talked about this at PAX a little bit, but it's every episode is very different from every other episode, or at least is designed to be very different from every other episode. So if you hate it, that I can understand that, but maybe if you come back next week, you'll get something different. And if you don't come back, then that's okay too, but – if we're going to keep being different and weird, that's just what makes Ash and I happy. So if other people like it or don't, that's up to them. We don't really mind.
So one of the things I usually do is remind the people who are talking on the show, like the co-hosts, that we need to explain to the listeners what we're actually talking about. And I've totally neglected to do that this time, other than to say you do a show that sort of is video game-ish. So
right.
Let's take the remainder of this segment of the show, which is only going to be a couple minutes. Just explain to me how this started and how it grew and perhaps had its tiny explosion of popularity and sort of what it means to you to create it.
It was initially just this idea I had for just something goofy to do with this HD camera I had bought that I was going to use for a documentary about indie game makers. And I thought, well, I need to test it on something. And it was originally going to be this very, very well-produced, very professional-looking thing until I realized I don't know how to be professional or produce things very well. It was like the BioShock idea was the first thing that came to my mind, where the episodes are basically my sister reenacts some aspect of a game, or we do some sort of sketch that's based off of a particular game and we go from there. And the original thing I had in mind, the very first episode, was Ash doing Andrew Ryan's Would You Kindly speech from BioShock, which is one of,
Dude, the professionalism, it's all in post.
Yeah. And I'm least experienced in post above all else. So I figured there's no way. And so instead of doing it professionally, we just got her in her exercise room and just did it there and had a couple episodes to lead up to it just for fun. So you got who the character was before, she starts doing the BioShock thing. And then we put those on Dig and those got popular. And then Nero, Yanyar.
Now, if it was just a test for you, what gave you the urge to post it? Just to get the feedback on it?
Just because, to get feedback and because I work for Destructoid and like, There's a.
So you knew there'd be some number of fans.
Well, they're just if I could show it to anybody, like if it had just been a matter of me like having to post it to YouTube and just sort of take my chances, I probably wouldn't have, just because that feeling is sort of makes me feel bad to like post stuff on YouTube because nobody sees it, or if they do, they probably ignore it.
But. Like me, where I have my nephew putt golfing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That kind of
nobody
thing.
Cares.
Nobody cares. But if I put it on Destructive, then yeah, some people who know me might watch it or whatever. So I did that. And then Nero, who is the CEO or the robot.
He's the founder guy.
He's the founder guy. He bothered the game trailer guys about it.
That's cool. All right.
Well, we got signed.
I have a feeling there's a little bit more to it, too. And of course, we have more show, so that's good. We're going to be back. If you have questions you'd like to call in and ask us, or if you feel like talking to him because he's here, feel free. 866-536-1100. We'll be on the air for another 3 segments.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we're here with our esteemed guest, Anthony Birch.
You don't have to, worry about calling me Reverend. It's okay. I'm not going to bite your neck out.
Come on, dramatic pause. I know that you're much better at it than I am, but I got to
try. Wait, what's his name?
So,
I already forgot.
Anthony Birch.
I have one quick question. So you're on Game Trailers, but do you have any sponsors while being on Game Trailers? I've watched the video. I haven't seen it.
Not as far as I know. No, it's just Game Trailers pays us.
Not as far as you know.
We have
I'm so divorced. I'm very divorced from the business end of things.
Now, we have a sponsor here at Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's UAT, the University of Advancing Technology, and their website is uat.edu. It's a beautiful segue.
That was a very graceful segue.
I worked it in.
That was very well done.
The board is going crazy on. It's lighting up.
Oh my God!
There's lights that I didn't even know it had are alighting.
The colors.
What colors are they?
This is like Penny Arcade days. So anyway, I say go to their website, uat.edu. When you're done with that, when you're done learning about how you might want to go learn, spend the time before you start school over at Game Trailers watching Hey Ash, What You Playing?
Especially Once Upon a Pixel tonight.
And that, I assume there's going to be a connection. Do you have is there a landing page on Game Trailers about all your stuff?
I think we have two different landing pages, but they're going to be sort of Flintstones and Jetsons to one another, to use a different sci-fi.
But I assume there will be links between
the two. There will be crossover episodes. Yeah.
So if you can find one, you can surely find the other.
Hopefully. That's the hope.
All right. And that's our big pitch. You don't want to throw out anything else during the show that we might forget later, run out of time?
No, that's about it.
No? All right. Well, we were talking about sort of the history. We've got some callers, so I definitely want to get to them. So you started off small. You're just going to do it because you had this nifty camera. And,
right.
I mean, you're studying, like, film and writing and that stuff, right?
Yeah. At the time, I was a film production major.
Right. And then, all right. So that would sort of give reason to be doing this stuff. And you've ended up leaving film production studies, but actually doing film production.
Right. I mean, I always loved to do film. I did it in high school with my friends all the time. We had a little group, and we did the announcements. We did every competition under the sun just for fun. And then thought I'd do it at college, but it turns out the college classes at least at ASU for film production are all based around here's what is moral, and here's what is not moral to do in films. Like,
now,
it's not okay to show revenge because that's immoral. It makes people kill people.
Now, are they college classes or university classes?
I called it university beforehand with a monocle on the top hat. I go to university.
Yeah, that was before the show.
Yeah. I just wanted to point it out.
You should have gotten him to say it during the show.
That's too late now.
All right, good. Well,
so what do you do with your life?
Masturbate on.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to say go to university, but you didn't.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got a couple callers. Let's go ahead and take Karn from New Jersey. Am I saying that right, Norm? Is it Karn?
Is that like King Corn Karn from pro wrestling?
I don't know. Anyway, Karn, you are on the air, sir. Maybe.
Apparently not.
Did I just scare him off? I'm sorry, Karn. Please come back.
You called him Corn. That's the worst insult you can hurl at someone over the radio.
Please come back.
I give Norm 5 seconds to figure this out, and then we move over to Penn. And the countdown is at 2.
Really? We're going to talk to Penn?
Didn't cut the mustard.
1. Are you there? Oh!
He hung up.
Oh.
He must have heard my countdown. All right, well, he's gone. We got Penn. What I don't want this to devolve into is a show of us waiting for callers.
Well, that's certainly...
I'm a one-strike-and-you're-out kind of guy.
Karn will get a notice
but
in the
Penn,
mail.
But Penn, he is an experienced...
Well, we've heard from him before. So
yes,
maybe...
you are on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
oh, my God,
what's up,
you can
Penn?
Hear him. Penn,
long
what
time
do you,
for one.
Yeah, my job keeps me away from the show. That starts at midnight.
Unacceptable.
Man. So what question do you have for us? Or do you want to talk to this other guy?
Specifically, Anthony, my original question was going to be about what happened during Jaffe Toid, but you guys covered it in an amazing way, and I was waiting for a podcast to have that kind of conversation, and when it finally took place, I was really happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I then chose the question, how do you think that, like me personally, I listen to so many podcasts that I don't any longer visit gaming sites? And do you think that will hurt gaming sites in the future? Like, despite hearing about maybe 30 Destructoid podcasts, I've never visited the site. And do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's okay. I mean, ideally, you know, you hear about Podtoad or something and you go to Destructoid because it's the same basic kind of editorial voice, and that would be a great way to draw people in. But, you know, if you don't want to, that's fine, too. I mean, the main purpose of Podtoad is... From a purely logical business end, is to get people to go to Destructoid so we can have revenue and stuff. But, you know, just from an artistic standpoint, if you like, I hesitate to call Podtoad artistic because of all the poo jokes and stuff. But, you know, if you like it, then that's great. And that makes certainly all the people on Podtoad happy who are recording actually right now.
Yeah. Well, your Street Fighter episode is artistic.
Thank you very much. We did a commentary for the Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter movie.
I would certainly make the argument that just any media outlet, whether it be Chatterbox or Destructoid or whatever, just has the goal for their users to consume. And then provided there are enough of them, the money will come later, right? And so right now, podcasting is relatively young. Mm-hmm. And down the road, there's already ones that, like, I was listening to one in the car on the way over here tonight, and there's a sponsor on that show that helps pay for the show. I assume they don't just do it for free. And so maybe one day Podtoid will have that too. And then you don't care if they go to the website.
Well, if, you know, if not, I mean, we're doing Podtoid just because it's fun.
Yeah, so, and you cool. make your cash without yeah. a website, right? I mean, you've obviously found followers because of Destructoid.
Yeah, definitely. Destructoid is probably the best thing that ever happened.
Penn, have I ever thanked you before on the air?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right, well, I'm going to thank you now because I'm always looking for material, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about when you say Jaffetoid, although I assume it's talking about Jaffe.
It's a Podtoid episode that was just me and David Jaffe talking about. I was arguing that games didn't need to be fun necessarily, and that people who say that games, by their definition, should be fun.
Isn't this goal to make people cry?
No, David Jaffe's is not.
He's the opposite of that.
Yeah, David Jaffe was more arguing that to try to make games do other things other than just be fun and happy is like trying to teach a dog how to whistle. And okay. I was trying to sort of debate that point with him or figure out where he was coming from. And
did you figure it out?
I hope not by making the argument that you've tried to make your dog whistle.
No. But I think what Penn was talking about was midway through I probably can't say it on the internet or on radio, so I won't. But the most derogatory word you can use about a gay person, but in an ironic way, like people call me an indie blank, starts with an F, and he got really offended because contextually, you know, I could see how he got confused because he doesn't know me, and I was using it in an ironic way because people have called me that for wanting games to be more and so on. And there was a brief moment of like awkwardness. And then the next Podtoid episode we discussed like, is it okay to use words like these? You know, given context issues and stuff like that. I think that's what Penn's talking about.
Yeah,
and also just the whole Jaffetoid conversation aside from that part is one of those conversations that I'm so happy that a podcast is having that very few have, and is another reason why I do listen to Chatterbox, because every once in a while they have those conversations come up and there's actual deep discussion about it instead of just kind of, for some strange reason, some podcasts avoid any kind of really deep discussion.
I don't think they avoid it intentionally because they want to be politically correct. I think they do it because they're worried that they won't actually speak about it intelligently. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you again because I was totally going to slip in, that's why you listen to Chatterbox, and you did it for me. So we have a couple other callers. Thank you very much, Penn, for calling in. That was grand old Penn 15.
Thank you, Penn.
Big fan.
Best name ever.
Reminds me of being in second grade.
Yeah. And it's radio safe. What a clever man.
Yeah.
Indeed.
It just reminds me of being 10 again every time he calls or writes
15.
Us.
Or 15.
Because when you get his email, it says Penn 15.
That's like one of those stealth user. Jokes like the cannibal dumped his girlfriend.
All right. Moving right along, we've got Adam from San Diego. I gather this isn't Karn using a pseudonym. Karn probably just went away, right? So, Adam, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hey what's up, Adam?
Pretty good, nothing much, just listening to you guys on the radio. I was just, well, I actually had a question for Anthony, because,
Get all the attention!
Sorry.
You F?
Sorry.
Well, I mean, I guess I could say I'm a big fan of Hop, and, you know, I've actually, like, recently joined, like, Destructoid, you know, because of all your work, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Just say that. But I was wondering, because, in your last, podcast that you made the other day when you were talking with Ashley about like where you want to take Hop and stuff like that, like you're always trying for new things, you said, but when you get higher up there, like do you have any plans or like any interest to like collab with maybe like other people like Mega 64, for example? Do you think that
like Tarantino?
I don't know. I mean, I would love to. I mean, I met the Mega 64 guys at PAX, and they're super, super nice. And, I mean, I'd like to definitely be in the same sort of position where they are, because they have, you know, a really cool just setup for just how they do their videos. You know, they have them everywhere, and they do ads for people, and they do, you know, actual TV commercials and stuff like that. In terms of collaborating with them, I mean, I don't want to speak for them, and I really like them, but it's that sort of weird thing of, like, if we could do it where it was, yeah, if it was Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino, yeah, but if it's, like, a bunch of cooks in one pot and they're all peeing and ruining each other, that would probably be a bummer.
You could start, like, an East Coast, West Coast, want to kill each other,
We're both West Coast. They're San Francisco, so we're, like, 5 feet away from one another.
Whatever.
We'd be Eastern, Western Coast
east
versus West, West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling. We're going to be back right after this. If you want to call, 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
All right, welcome back to the Chatterbox and Birch Show. My name's Alon, and we've got the rest of the team here.
This time, I'll let it slide just because it's Anthony.
You know what happens? We agreed we wouldn't do the name recap,
that's why I didn't.
I did it, and I thought, oh, crap.
Yeah, but then it's cool. It's a,
it's a horrible waste of time.
I don't want to make you guys divorce. I don't want to be that kid in the marriage.
It's excellent. You're there. You're already there.
So many things have come between us in the past.
It's good. It's good.
I don't want to be the straw that bakes the podcast back.
So we've got another caller, but I don't want to get right to him. I want to get back a little bit to what sort of makes you love the projects that you do. Like what you've got your dad in it, and everybody seems to be excited about your dad, and you've got your friends in it, mm-hmm. and you get to run around from zombies and stuff. Like and you said you want to do a different one each time, or something that's not just the same as something else. Mm-hmm. So. Like, is there something you can tell about, like, what keeps the spark alive, how it keeps interesting, how you stop from just churning them out because you feel obligated to do that? Because, like we talked about before, there's the financial connection, the fact that you actually make money now.
Yeah.
How did that change when you did start making money? I know you've talked about this before, but to a small audience.
Right. Well, when we found out that we were going to get paid for it, and quite well paid, we got terrified. Like, because all of a sudden, I don't know why I didn't expect to get terrified, but the premise that the idea that we actually have to be accountable for someone spending money on us was terrifying. So we went into this real freak out mode where we made a bunch. All of a sudden, it's a product. We got to get them out. We got to keep doing them. And a bunch ended up being really awful. And we sort of figured out after that first.
Wait, the kind that you thought were awful and everybody liked?
No. They were universally awful. They're going to be on the DVD when the DVD comes out in a month or something. Whenever
in the
we
look at
it.
This crap section?
Yeah, it's going to be literally crappy episodes with prefaces at the beginning and end saying, that was crap. Wasn't that crap? I don't ever tell anybody you saw that, that kind of thing. Because they were just awful. But if they just sort of come naturally out of me and Ash just having ideas about stuff, that's great. And usually the ideas we have are sort of weird and never that similar to other stuff because we have some sort of subconscious filter that – I mean, I'm sure we'll screw up and there'll be a lot of episodes that end up – you know, if we go on for 2 or 3 years that are similar to other ones. But
how much support do you have from other people involved in the project? Like obviously you've got Ash Davis working with you, but is that creative or just art?
It sort of varies. You know, on the Once Upon a Pixel episode she worked on, it was basically art and some creative stuff. Sometimes she'll just be an actress for us. Most of the creative heavy lifting is me and Ash, and then sometimes we'll have my friend Grant or Justin or Ulysses, who are the guys I did movies with in high school, which is another reason why I really still enjoy doing it, because it's just an extension of just, you know, screwing around in high school just for fun, except now I'm getting paid for it and more people are watching it. It's like the dream almost.
You have a friend named Ulysses and a friend named Grant.
I know.
I just wanted to.
Yeah.
Does he have a friend named S?
No.
Two out of three. Pat.
I have a friend named Ash, so if you're drunk, then it sounds like you're saying...
You have another friend named Ash?
No. I have a girlfriend and a sister named Ash. If you combine them as a friend.
Okay.
That's the math for it. Look it up.
And ironically, neither of them would actually be listed as friend on a piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Life is strange.
So, you've got this thing that you do, that you like doing, that someone decided to actually pay you for. By the way, me and the Game Trailers guy, in terms of just seeing people, seeing each other at the conferences, way back when he started Game Trailers, before he was picked up by the MTVs and everything.
You mean the Angry Video Game Nerd?
No, I'm talking, unless he is the Angry Video Game Nerd and I don't know.
No, I'm sorry.
It.
Who are you talking about?
The Game Trailers guy.
Brad Winters?
Dude, I see him at conferences. I can't tell you.
Oh, Jeff Keighley?
Not Jeff Keighley. I know him. The guy who started Game Trailers. Like the dude with the curly hair and he looks like sort of a...
I have no idea that is.
Whatever. But the guy who founded it.
Are you sure
that wasn't just a bum off the street?
No.
Well, you probably know more about the company that is paying me than I do. Because I'm like I said, I'm really divorced from the business end of things.
There was one guy and he was rolling around with the camera taking video at E3 in these places. He just did the site called Game Trailers. And I don't know if it was just him who started it or if he had some people help him, but whatever. It was basically his baby. And then I see him at the next conference. He's like, yeah, MTV picked us up. It's pretty awesome. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That's... nobody picked me up. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's this huge thing where obviously you're making money, which means it pays other people to do other things, right? How many projects are on Game Trailers that do the sort of, not necessarily the same type of content, but produce something specifically for Game Trailers?
Right now it's just us and Screw Attack. Screw Attack's got a real big presence on there. They do their I don't know if they do hard news on it, but they do top 10 lists, and they do like video game vaults, and the Angry Video Game Nerd is on there, which is huge, not mm-hmm. just for Screw Attack, but just in general. Like, they have Angry Video Game Nerd has literally, I think, 10 times the
viewership.
Dude, I got to
tell you, never heard of that guy until you started talking about Penny Arcade.
Really?
Expo, and now, like, all these people
How have
talking
you not
about
heard about the Angry Video Game Nerd?
It's just a thing that it's like.
Is it just podcasts that he
have
does?
Have you never used the internet?
Yeah, he does videos where he reviews old, really bad games and uses really colorful language to do so.
Yeah. See, all I do, like, I read a couple blogs that I need to for news, and it's not so much that I need to, that I want to, right? But I don't sit at home on my computer and just, like, research stuff about the internet. Like, you're still young. That's what you do, man.
Well, like, Angry Video Game Nerd is like one of those things you just accidentally run into. It's like you just stumble.
Yeah,
and
I accidentally did when you talked about it. Yeah. At Penny Arcade.
It's like you know, have you ever met anybody who's like 30 and hasn't watched Star Wars? Probably not. It's just it just happens. You just trip and you watch Star Wars. It's just a natural phase of life.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll take that.
I've never met anybody who was 30 who hadn't watched Star Wars.
It definitely felt like a trip for me.
I've seen it, but it felt forced every time.
And that's the one where you're in some mode of conveyance, by the way.
Mm. All right, so we have another caller I want to go to in just a minute. And then we have one more segment afterwards where I want to just talk about normal general gaming stuff and sort of have you be involved. So we'll do that. And if you ever feel like coming back, you know, doors open. They don't lock it. They don't want us to be safe.
I actually noticed that.
Yeah. They used to lock it, worried that some guy was going to, like, break in with a gun because, like, he was upset at somebody or something. But as time goes by, they figure, oh, he must have not wanted to kill us. So why lock it?
Yeah.
Why? Anyway, I guess we don't have the white supremacist on the air anymore. So that explains, too.
Darn. Yeah, this radio station's really gone downhill since he left.
No, it's gotten much better.
No. I love white supremacy talk. I like to hear people belittle my own race.
You wouldn't know it from the equipment they stick us with. Anyway, we have Brock from Florida. He's actually on the air live right now. I don't know if he knows it. Brock.
Oh, apparently I am.
Yes,
hey, what's
you are,
up,
sir?
Brock?
Hey.
I'm guessing, since I haven't seen your name in the past, that you're calling once again for a friend, Anthony.
Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't listened to this before. But I do have a question for Anthony. So, yeah, I was interested, and I'm totally ripping this from someone else. I think it's a good question anyway. Your dad is in a lot of the episodes, which is really cool. What is his and then your parents' kind of relationship to gaming and then also the videos you do?
My dad doesn't actually game very much on his own. He's sort of interested in them, but, like, he's a relatively older dude. So, there's sort of a generational gap in terms of, like, what button does what. But he was the one who originally got me into gaming, actually, because the first present I ever remember getting was a Nintendo Entertainment System with the Mario Duck Hunt cartridge and a zapper. And
did he go buy it from a flea market to give it to you? Because you are not old enough to be playing the NES.
I don't know. I can't remember. I remember waking up and it was there one day. And we played all the time, and he was teaching me, like, life lessons about, like, you can't let that dog laugh at you. You got to show him that you're better. And this is presumably before he knew that the dog will endlessly laugh at you. There's no end of the game. So there's no, like, lesson to be learned there. You're always going to have the dog laugh at you. Life is just a series of horrible, horrible things happening.
Nice.
With no
Is your dad
victory.
A military That's man? Because that sounds teaching. Like the advice of a military man.
No, he was in the Air Force, but he just played cards. He went in before Vietnam and just played cars and fixed planes. He didn't do anything like military is. He's a really cool, laid-back guy. And,
Did he get the Sakura costume thing? Was he into that?
Was he into it? No. As much as you might like to foist incest into my whole family dynamic, that's not really there. No, he saw it and...
I swear it's so unintentional.
Yeah, no, I was wearing the Sakura costume, and then I filmed, like, I had the camera just going just because it was going, and then he walked in, I filmed him, and Dad was like, what the heck is going on? And I was like, it's for... And he was like, jeepers, you look like a Japanese prostitute. I was like, that's the point, Dad.
Are you on Twitter at all?
I have a Twitter, but I very rarely use it except to put myself out.
That's fine. There's a user on there who apparently has gotten popular enough that... the CEO of my company actually mentioned
it. Is it stuff my dad says? Or except the word
it's not stuff? It's not stuff, but yes, it's exactly.
Yeah, I love that website.
That's the only valuable thing I think
Wait,
that is
it
on
a website
Twitter.
Too, or just a Twitter?
No,
account?
Sorry, I love the Twitter. Sorry.
So S my dad says, you figure out the word S is, and it's really fascinating. My girlfriend found it, and she's like, this is great. Just let me read these to you. And it is hilarious. I kind of picture your dad being and my dad too could totally fit in it, but it would be with poor English.
Yeah, my dad's not that quick. He's not that fast on just terms of, like, I'm not even that clever. I mean, is that guy says, like, brilliant stuff, but you know, dad is very laid back.
Maybe the reason I connect him to your father is because I picture a lot of the times we see him in the Hey Ash, What You're Playing videos, it's kind of like a clip to him, and it could possibly not be intended for the video you have it, and you're just like using B-roll of your dad. That's what it seems like to me.
Only, I think we did that once in the Metal Gear finale, but all the rest of the time it's been intended.
I picture you just videotaping your dad in various times and then injecting him into the videos. Am I right? Do you think that, Brock, too? Does it seem like that?
Yeah, it seems like that a little bit. I always wondered, like, because my parents are super conservative, and I can't imagine doing all those things. It was always really surreal to me to have parents who would, like, you know, do all those things, like cuss on the air and, like, you know, say all the sexual innuendo and everything like that. So
yeah, no, my dad's turbo liberal, so he gets off on that.
Oh, that's cool.
He must really love his son, but not in an incestual way.
Unlike what some people on this podcast might want you to think, or this radio show, rather.
All right, hey Brock, anything else before we gotta let you go?
No, that was it. Thanks.
All right, cool.
Thank you very much.
I think he just gave you an air high five, so way to go. Sweet. That would have been much better with the visual, but we are, of course, radio.
I actually have another question.
Go for it. We got, what, like 1 minute left?
Is there, can you tell us about, like, growing up, like, who are your, like, influences?
Use the word inspiration. I dare you.
Inspirations, all of that stuff, like, just in terms of, I don't know, filmmaking, comedy.
You mean like growing up, or like in relation to Hey Ash? Because that's
well, specifically
recent.
In relation to Hey Ash. But if you can't think of those, then you can fall back on.
Well, with Hey Ash, it's not an intentional thing to sort of borrow from people, but I think a lot of the sense of humor in terms of like the timing and stuff is very Aqua Teen Hunger Force. It's very very Adult Swim kind of stuff.
How it makes absolutely no sense sometimes.
Yeah, and the abruptness of it. You know, those episodes will just end like, and there's something funny about the abruptness, and we sort of take that from them.
It is. No, you're right. Did you mention that before? Or?
I mentioned it at the PAX panel.
I got that feeling, and I didn't know how to convey it, and you just did.
All right, well, we got one more segment, and we'll be back with Anthony Birch of Hey Ash, What's Your Plan?
He's coming.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox. The final
countdown.
Not the final countdown. The final segment.
Final episode. Do you know we're at like episode 296 now?
Really? We should throw a party or something.
We were totally doing this before podcasting was around.
Yeah.
I need to make a hand signal.
We
Dog.
Can maybe in like
this is the shocker.
Podcast hasn't even broken 150. I'm
yeah,
in awe.
No, we've been doing one a week. I mean, there's a couple weeks we miss, and I still increase the number, right? But
yeah,
so it's like,
it's
like
number,
week
right.
296, or we call it show 296. But it's like we've missed a few. But by a few, I mean like probably less than double digits.
It
shows.
Would have been a week in which episode, you know, whatever happens. So we'll just next week is the two numbers higher.
But seriously, we started, it's going to be 6 years, mid-January.
Goodness gracious.
Dude, I don't know how long you've been doing.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's been...
How long have I been on?
Oh my God.
I don't know. And the whole time, was not even intending this segue, by the way, but the whole time, University of Advanced Technology has been sponsoring us and making it possible. So head over to their website, uat.edu. Swear to God, wasn't planning
I'm
that.
I'm sure it wasn't.
Totally.
I'm positive.
Right. If I say swear to God, that means I'm serious.
Look,
right?
Yeah. 6 years.
No, nobody's ever lied when talking
about
God.
Has to account for something.
Yeah. Ever.
So anyway, yeah. Go to their website uat.edu, and you know, you can be a designer just like Ara, although he didn't go to school for it.
No,
think of how much a better designer you would
schooling.
Be.
Right? Yeah. Sure. I would be much better. Yeah.
Okay. We had an episode about that, the school versus you know self education bit.
Yeah.
So usually we have a whole bunch of stuff we could talk about. And there's a lot of papers in front of Ara. About things that we could potentially talk about. I actually have one, and I wonder if, Ara, you would mind if I brought up...
Well, it's most... All these papers really are here just to trick the guest into thinking that we're prepared.
Oh.
Hey, you guys are really prepared.
See? So, like, that totally worked.
Well, that is good. So, why am I hearing...
So now that we have the Central Phoenix Dispatch coming through...
Yeah. Hey, Norm, I'm hearing a phone, so if you're calling somebody, that's on the air.
Hello?
Is it coming from my pocket?
I think it's...
No, dude. One of these lines is taken up.
Is let's.
All right, yeah, that's
oh,
on the air.
Ash.
Or Ash.
I knew it was like it's definitely.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Somehow my thigh called Ash.
This is crazy. So you called Ash as Norm was on the phone, which he never does, and we're hearing stuff in
that's
the headphones.
Weird.
Okay, this is great radio.
Sorry, I'm on a radio show.
Hey, Ash.
If you think you're not going to put that on speaker right now.
You're on the radio, Ash.
Hi,
How
Ash.
How did that happen?
Hi. How's it going?
All right. Do you remember me accosting your brother at the Penny Arcade Expo?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now, see, secondhand, people generally get a better view of things. He says he didn't even, like, notice that it was a little crazy. Did it seem to you like I was some madman stealing your brother away, perhaps ready to punch him in the face?
It's okay if you say yes.
I remember you asking him about the radio show, and then Anthony said, yeah, we should definitely do that, and I guess he's there now.
Was it perhaps in an inappropriate way that I handled myself?
I'm sorry?
Did I perhaps handle myself in an inappropriate way?
No.
You don't have to say no, because he said to say no.
It's hard to hear you. I'm sorry.
You're not missing anything.
Hey, Ash, can you hear me?
Did you just make fun of me on my own show? Dude. All right. Well, you're on speaker, so it's hard to hear me because I'm across the room. But, you know, thanks for calling in. Did you mean to do that? Was this rigged?
No, I got a call.
Did I call you? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
What
My thigh bumped something and called. No, this was not intentional.
Well done.
I apologize.
Ash, there's millions of listeners. You should tell them something.
We actually have about 200 fans in the chat room all saying how much they love Ash, and about 10 who say how much they hate you, but most of them all very positive.
Tell them, hey, thanks.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Right. She says thanks.
Bye, Ash.
All right. Good time.
All right. Bye.
That was so weird because I swear Norm was calling and it was on the air in my headphones.
See, I heard it and I was like looking at Anthony and he's looking at me and I'm like looking at him and he's like.
No, I don't want him to get fired. It probably wasn't. I'm probably lying, but we were hearing it.
I apologize.
This is really the pinnacle of radio production.
Because I thought I heard it in my.
No, that was good. So anyway, I wanted to talk about something real fast. Let me get back
good
to
radio
this email.
Right
so
there.
I get lots of press releases. That happens all the time. People rig that their friend calls or whatever, like Kevin Smith when he's doing things. He has
I promise that was not intentional. I very, very.
Oh, yeah, because when people say they swear to God, they totally
I didn't say I swear to God. I said I promise.
He said he promises.
That means that it's even extra planned.
So anyway, I get press releases all the time to the point that I'm really bad at answering email because it's all stuffed with this crappy press release junk.
Right.
And so I apologize to those who I don't respond to appropriately. But I got a press release right before coming to the show tonight. It was just from Konami. Konami ships some new game that I've never heard about or care about. But it's a game called Tornado Outbreak. Have you heard of this game?
Sounds amazing.
What does that even mean? Is that that doesn't even make sense to me.
I'm not trying to be cliche when I say, hey,
like the tornadoes are locked up and they broke out.
So I'm going to ask you. So first of all, answer yes or no. Have you heard of Tornado Outbreak?
No.
Okay, it's for the big systems, like the big three.
I hope it's like a combination of like the movie Outbreak and the movie Twister.
It sounds like a disease.
it's like diseased monkeys flying at you in a tornado.
No, that's not at all what it is. And so I'm going to read to you what the little intro gets you hyped paragraph.
Wait a minute. Wait, you're not the tornado, are you?
Hang on a second. So can anybody in this room think of some positive gameplay mechanic? Based on a tornado?
What system?
You're the tornado, like, and you have to break free.
Negative Katamari, where instead of bringing things up, you're destroying things?
I'm sure I could come up with something, but right now I'm just confused.
That concept's been copyrighted already.
Right.
Don't steal
it. So here's the excitement blurb. Tornado Outbreak's revolutionary new game mechanic puts some of Earth's most powerful elements in players' hands as they try to defeat the evil Omegaton. In an effort to save the world. Okay, I'll repeat that. They want to defeat someone to save the world.
Okay.
Moving on. Gamers take control of a dynamic tornado.
Yes!
I
called it!
As they tear through open environments, chewing up the landscape and spitting out everything in their path. The challenge is time-based collection and point in the search for hidden elements and enemies from another world. Tornado Outbreak provides expansive sandbox-type gameplay and real-time destruction, allowing players to obliterate everything in the game. So you're saving the world.
That actually sounds like Inverse Katamari, like what I said.
While obliterating the world.
It kind of is.
This is great. We've divined the concept of the game just from the title.
Note that the tornado is dynamic and not static.
Everything is dynamic in a game. If it's static, get rid of it.
if it's static, 3D, 2D graphics.
And
it's a text
super
adventure.
Turbo destructible environments.
Now, don't let the fact that you've never heard of this game
I
kind of
want to play it, actually, hearing that description.
Yeah. Nine out of ten.
If I just asked you, okay, there's a game coming out, Tornado Outbreak. What system is it on?
I would probably say DS or something.
Right.
Or the Wii.
Me too.
Or like PS2 or like one of
like
those weird ones.
Like you have to swirl it and ruin your screen.
Yeah, or something like that.
Right? But it is. No, it's 360,
yes.
PlayStation 3, and Wii. And I don't get the impression that it's downloadable. This sounds like a whole disc-based game.
Oh.
Because they don't say PSN and Xbox Live.
Look, you need a lot of resources.
They need
to
send
to
us
make
a copy
a true
of this
rendition
game.
They
of the
should.
You should play that on the show next week and just give your running commentary of it.
Well, I will send this, whoever sent me this email, someone, Brandon Cox.
I will send
him an email.
You can tell them that Anthony said we should get the game from them.
Oh, my God, yes.
I have no clout with companies read my reviews. I have no clout with them.
They don't listen
to me.
Are you on Metacritic? Apparently, you only have clout if you're on Metacritic.
I am on Metacritic, and I think I'm responsible for the lowest scores for both Kane and Lynch and Manhunt 2.
Wait a minute.
Metacritic.
I'm on Metacritic. Does that mean I have clout?
No, because you're not actually on Metacritic.
No, I am. You can look me up.
You mean you have a user account?
Oh, no.
Congratulations. Good. Well, that's fantastic.
Well done.
All right. So how does something like this make you feel? You have an initial gut reaction. We all sort of laughed at this new game coming out called Tornado Outbreak. Does it kind of make you weep for where games have gone? Or are you kind of excited to be like, well, maybe it's like Katamari and that was fun and this could be nifty, actually?
Well, I think if I had heard about it before, then I might be more inclined to treat it like, you know, if someone described Flower to you. You know, and
which
Flower,
I have yet to see, by the way.
Flower just came out. You know, if you heard that, you'd think it was awful. But I mean, just my gut reaction from just not having heard about it before and getting a press release that sounds that enthusiastic about it is that it's probably going to be shovelware. But I mean, the concept, you could take any concept, no matter how weird, and probably turn it into something incredible. I mean, try describing Katamari Damacy to someone in words and then try to make them not call the psych ward on
you. All right,
you
so
you're done.
If you search the Google for Tornado Outbreak game and the first two hits you get reference Kojima and Tornado Outbreak.
Ooh.
Yeah. It says, is Kojima's next game Tornado Outbreak? And then Kojima's next game, Tornado Outbreak.
Oh, I know. I
doubt that means he's actually involved.
Well, now I'm excited.
Did you know that tornado outbreaks usually occur in March through June?
He just Wikipedia'd the page for just regular tornado outbreaks.
I didn't know that tornado outbreaks ever occurred.
I'm confused by this, but now I really want to see it. The fact that it's a disc-based game, not a downloadable game, makes me all the more curious, because that sounds like you said shovelware, which would just be download me, right?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of disc-based shovelware too. Just look at the Wii's library.
Well, yes, but that is the Wii, right? And they get pushed out for $20,
right?
Right? They don't get pushed out for $60, which is probably what this is. So, well, it doesn't say 60. Oh. I'm guessing.
Well, I preemptively wowed. I apologize for that.
Yeah, but Mr. Cox, you definitely should send me a copy. I want to play that. I'm flabbergasted by games like this. It may very well be good. And I urge anyone who has played the game today, or plans to, or has read about it, or has ever even heard about it, to let us know. Feel free to email. Also, you can email the Birch folks. What are the appropriate email addresses for the Hey Ash What You Playing group?
You can either find us on Facebook, which is just Hey Ash What You Playing, which is a group, or you can just email me at reverendanthony@gmail.com. And if it's not something horribly obscene or weird, I'll CC Ash in on it.
Are you available for weddings?
I can actually officiate weddings.
Oh, seriously?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. I gotta warn you, by the way, this guy's communication via email, surprising.
All I do is I just don't sign my name and I speak as you would in like an instant message chat, and then
that's
you
what
all
it's
freaking
like.
Out.
It's like an IM.
You're like, why is this not double spaced in a courier font?
But it
you need to number
me.
Your pages.
It pressured me.
Why
to
didn't
the same
you put
way.
Footnotes and citations?
I gotta be like, this guy's all alpha male telling me, yeah, what's up?
It's
yeah,
not
I
alpha
be
male to be you know not verbose.
Well, you didn't know that.
That's
now
how I know.
Alpha you
now,
are.
Now the next time I will talk to you, I will use 8 words when I can use 1.
Well, our outro is here. We must go. Thank you very much, Reverend.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.